Or what now? Or what next? Fair and honest questions, questions that we ask ourselves at different times in life. In our life, when a question comes, whenever a question comes, it casts a bit of a shadow. Now what next? We've already been reminded that tomorrow is a federal election day in Canada. So now what? Within 36 to 40 hours, we'll know the results of Canadians voting across from coast to coast to coast. Apparently, over 3.6 million people voted in the advance polls last weekend because they were either leaving, wanting to get rid of the rush to tomorrow, whatever the reason being. And so we're waiting for the now what to be answered. Who will be our next government in Ottawa? Can I just say a side note? And I'm all about praying for the election. All about that. But can I say we're supposed to pray after the election? Praying for them. And I sometimes am challenged because I think the church, we all pray about the election. And if we're not careful, we're praying so that our guys get in or our gals get in. When Paul says to Timothy, pray for those in authority that we may live a peaceful life. Paul calls them in Romans to be servants of God who serve the greater good, hopefully. And Paul says we need to pray for all those who are in authority, especially they'll come to know Christ as Savior, first and foremost. Before you pray about your policies, pray for their salvation. Pray for their families. Ottawa is a terribly pressured place for those in authority. Lots of pressures. And pressures come to bear on MPs and their families. And we've heard more than one family that's come to break up because of the pressure of politics. So let's be praying for the election. Let's be praying as we vote. And let's be praying after we voted. Because sometimes I'm bothered. I think sometimes we complain about our leaders more than we pray for them. That's just for free. That's nothing to do with the message. But now what? Question mark. Casts a shadow. Now what? What now? What happens next? The truth is, every one of us live in the shadow of a question mark on a regular basis. Things happen in our lives where we're asked the question, now what? What now? What next? There's a question mark that kind of hangs over our lives. It may do with our health, or perhaps the economy, employment, relationships. And there's a shadow that's cast over our lives by this question, now what? Now what? I will pause, and thanks for the introduction. We do know Ross way back from our days in Mississauga a long time ago when we were both younger. But we're still good looking, Ross, so hold on. So I, as Ross said, I now serve at Vanguard College. It used to be called Northwest Bible College. I tell the students it had a much more spiritual name when I went there. But I'm back there starting my sixth year at Vanguard College, and my responsibilities there is to be the School of Pastoral Leadership Director. So students who are in that pastoral school, that pastoral training, I'm their program director. I'm also now called the Chief Student Officer. I say that so you'll be duly impressed. I'm a Chief Officer. Does it work? No, it's not working. Okay. Going to Vanguard was a bit of an identity crisis for me. I never thought I'd be at a Bible college. It wasn't on my radar. God has his own unique humor and timing to things. Most of the students still call me, at least to my face. I don't know what they call me behind my back. You can tell me later. But they call me Pastor Mark because that's who I am. That's my call. That's my gifting. And I've spent 30-some years pastoring in different contexts, but it's that pastoral gifting that I have. And so that's who I am. My wife, Pam, is my best friend. She's my better three quarters. People always like me more when Pam's around. When I go back to places we've been before, they say, hi, Mark, and the first question is Pam here? And if she's not, you can just kind of see their spirit sink a little bit. Oh, it's just you. Thank you very much. Pam's a nurse by her occupation. She's a health and wellness nurse at NAV Canada, out by the airport, taking care of traffic controllers and flight specialists and all those people. That's what she does. We have two grown children, Rachel, who is now married to a fine, godly young guy named Jeremy. She actually works at the college, and works for the student finance. Her husband is the youth pastor at North Point here in the city. And our son, James, I was going to tell Ross, and he introduces me, to say, you're the son and father of James McKnight. So my dad, James McKnight, was a pastor and leader in our fellowship, our general superintendent, for 16 years, I guess it was. And so I'm his son, but I happen to be the father of James McKnight. So I'm the father and son of James McKnight. And he's a worship arts pastor at Hickman Pentecostal, just outside of Toronto. So that's what he's doing this morning, leading a church there. That's who we are. And we are honored and pleased to be here and just to come alongside to serve with you for these next few months. Because you are living under the shadow of now what? As a church family. Now what? So this morning, I want you to turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6, please. It's a very familiar passage. And we'll look at it in two parts. We'll read the first four verses here now, and then we'll come and read the next four in a few moments. But in this very familiar passage, don't miss the shadow of question mark that appears twice. But it's not the question mark we want to fixate on this morning. We have to understand the question mark, but we want to see the response, the answer to that question mark, most importantly, in just a moment. So it reads as this, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah writing, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to the other and said, we just sang these words. These words are the song of heaven. A different version here from the one that we hear in Revelation, but the first part is exactly the same. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold physically shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. Oh, if there's Blu-ray or DVDs or something in heaven, I would love to see this moment. But it begins with a question mark. In the year that King Uzziah died, the king is dead. The king is dead. We're facing a federal election, so we're not too sure what's going to happen next, who our next prime minister will hear. But in this case, you can go back one slide, yeah. That's the one. The year the king died. The year the king died. So we're waiting with bated breath to see who our next prime minister will be. In the context here, a huge question mark casts a shadow across the people of Israel, because the king is dead. Not totally unexpected, and yet this kind of news is always a bit of a surprise. It can hit you hard. Every death leaves a void. We pray for that young family in southern Manitoba, Alberta, who lost three daughters. A death leaves a void, and we pray for that family. In a nation, though, as the king dies, it leaves a huge void, a vacuum in leadership. Uzziah dies after 52 years of sitting on the throne. 52 years with the same king. As scripture tells us that he came to be king when he was only 16 years of age. How's that, eh? Get your driver's license and become king at 16. Almost frightening to think about it. So at 16, Uzziah became king. And what we do know about him is that the Bible said he started out strong. In his early years, the Bible says that he did what was right in the sight of God. That's the kind of leader you want. Because the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. So he starts off strong. He does what is right in the sight of God. However, and again, for all of our politicians, whoever's elected tomorrow, we must pray, because power can begin to corrupt. Power can get to your heart and your mind and your spirit. And Uzziah, we're told, pride began to get the better of him. Pride got the better of him, and so eventually God strikes him with leprosy to humble him. But he still came. Humbled by leprosy, a daily reminder of his pride, he's still the king. He was still ruling on the throne. And now at the age of 68, all of a sudden, the king is dead. What happens now? So if you were Isaiah, if you were one of the people of that nation, and the news comes out, the king is dead, there's this great shadow of a question mark that is cast upon your future, wondering what will take place next. But the story is about what happens to Isaiah in the midst of all of this. Now we know Isaiah was a prophet. He was a man of God. He was the one through whom God would speak to the nation. He would speak to the king and the nation through Isaiah. Isaiah's heard God's voice before. Isaiah's aware of where his hope comes from. And in this passage, in Isaiah 6, Isaiah has a vision. God gives him a vision. And it's a vision that causes him to go vertical, to look up, to look way up. In the year that King Uzziah dies, in the shadow of a question mark, comes an exclamation mark. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord, Isaiah said. As the news of the king dying comes, he sees the Lord. That's truth for all of us. That will preach. He sees the Lord. And what does he see? He has this incredible vision. He has what we would call a God moment. Although I want to suggest, let's be careful how we use that God moment mentality. Because the way I see it, if God is always with us, and if God who's never changing, the God who was and is to come, and he's always with us, then the reality is, right now, this is a God moment. And the next second is a God moment. And the next second is a God moment, because God is with us, right? So let's be careful to make sure that we don't isolate God only to those over-the-top moments. God wants to be with us in every moment. That's his promise. In a few months' time, we'll celebrate Christmas. God, Emmanuel, God with us. But I understand that there are sometimes those moments, those exclamation mark moments, where a God who is always with us makes himself known in a remarkable way. So just as we read, this is what Isaiah sees. Again, in the shadow of a question mark, the death of a king, comes the exclamation mark, I saw the Lord. By the way, in this passage, we read the word Lord again as we hear the song of heaven in verse 3. The first time we read the word Lord, it's Adonai. I saw the Lord, the Master God. And he doesn't just see the Lord. He doesn't just see Master God. Adonai becomes the name because the people of Israel were told one of their 10 commandments was not to use the name of the Lord your God in vain. So they became very, very cautious, very restrictive about even saying the name Yahweh. They'd be very, very careful. They would limit how they would use that name. And so the common name they would use was Adonai, our Lord, our Master God. He says he sees him upon a throne. He doesn't just see the Lord. He sees him upon a throne. go to Ottawa, go to the House of Parliament, and you'll see the throne where the Speaker of the House sits, where the Queen, if she is visiting us, will sit on that throne. The Governor General will sit on that throne. It's a place of power. It's a place that speaks of authority. So Isaiah sees the Lord, and the Lord is on a throne. We've been to London many times, and in Westminster Chapel, you can see the throne that they use when they change the monarch. When those people are placed as the queen or the next king, they sit upon that throne that's been used for generations in England. It's the chair used for coronation. Well, he sees the Lord, and the Lord is on the throne. And listen, whenever there's a throne, the throne's usually a few steps up. They put the chair on a just it's not all about power, but it's making a statement that this throne is above. It's a place of power and authority. Well, Isaiah sees, I saw the Lord. He's not just on any throne, but he's on his throne, and he's high, and he's lifted up. Everything that Isaiah sees is to the nth degree. He's on a throne, high and lifted up. He's in a place of authority. I love that, don't you? The king died. What happens next? It's okay, the Lord's still on his throne. The Lord's on his throne, high and lifted up. And his train fills the temple. Oh, magistrates, kings, they would wear their kingly robes. And we're told in history that some kings, it was the length of their train that kind of made a fashion statement and a political statement. Now, men, don't judge me harshly, but I still have images of Princess Diana in the wedding dress. I mean, she entered Westminster Chapel, or St. Paul's Cathedral, and it took another 5 minutes for the rest of her dress to make it in as well. Do you remember that? It went all the way down the aisle. It made a statement. Well, the Lord who's on his throne, high and lifted up, his kingly robe fills the temple. There's no room for anything else. He's a great God. He's a great king. And his train, it's over the top. It fills the temple. R.C. Sproul says that the point is trying to make that the vision, a vision statement that there was room for nothing and no one else in his temple. High, lifted up on his throne. A train that fills the temple. And then cue the seraphim, these angelic beings. There's these angelic beings, and they're flying in the Lord's presence. We're told with two wings they cover their eyes, with two their face, and with two they fly. It's been suggested that the two wings that cover the eyes and the two that cover the feet are covering those things that speak about our own humanity. They're shielded in the presence of this great God. And with two they fly. And they begin to sing that song, "Holy, holy, holy." Covering their eyes and their feet shows there's a bit of separation in the presence of this great and holy God. And they begin to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Yahweh here." Different word. By the way, in your English Bibles, when you read the word Lord, if Lord is spelled with a capital L and lowercase O-R-D, that's Adonai. But if you look here, it changes. It's now all uppercase, L-O-R-D. That tells us in the original it was Yahweh. Yahweh. Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts, the God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The whole earth. Listen, the temple's a hard time holding on to his train, but the bigger picture is his glory fills the entire earth. This is who Isaiah sees. He doesn't just see things. He hears and feels things. It says that the foundations shook at the voice of those who sang the song. The place is vibrating. Like some of those young guys who buy some Japanese car and put speakers in that are way too big, and you sit next to them at the red light. You know what I'm talking about? And you can hear every loose bolt in their car rattle from their big woofers. You don't just hear it, you feel it.
Yep.
Well, he doesn't just hear it, he feels it. The place shakes at the sound of the voice. And the house is filled with smoke. And this is a sign of the Shekinah cloud of God's glory. We see it at Mount Sinai. We see it in 1 Kings 8, Ezekiel 10. Oh, when Solomon prays over the new temple, remember that? He builds this amazing, there's no building like it. Nothing like it. And yet on the dedication, Solomon says, saying, If the earth can't contain God, how much less this beautiful building I've built? He says, oh, please, God, please, by your mercy, be pleased to dwell in this place. And then the place fills with smoke, and the priests have to stand back. They can't even do what they're going to do because God's presence has filled the place. That's what Isaiah sees. That's what Isaiah hears. Everything about the Lord is holy. And listen, the fact that he is a holy, holy, holy God is not about rules and regulations. It means that he is other. He's not one of us. He is other. He is above. He transcends all that we know. He is everything that ought to be. He's all that is right and perfect. He's this holy God. Holy God, above and beyond us. He is separate. He is separate. So, in the year that King Uzziah died, now what? Oh my goodness, the king's dead. Who's going to take over? Who will be our next sovereign? In the shadow of that question mark comes this exclamation mark, I saw the Lord on his throne, high, lifted up. His train fills the temple. It fills with smoke. He is holy. He's the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. There's a second question mark. As wonderful, as amazing as it is in this moment of uncertainty, because the question mark, the shadow is uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen next. That's the uncertainty. In this case, the exclamation is the certainty, the Lord's still on his throne. Yes, we're going through transition, but the Lord is still on his throne. But then comes the next question mark. Because Isaiah, all of a sudden, in the presence of this holy God, says, woe is me. Now, language changes. Some of you remember happy days, the Fonz, woe, it was a good thing. This is not the Fonzie woe. This is, woe is me. I am undone. All of a sudden there's this question mark because Isaiah is overwhelmed by the holiness of God. And as he sees God for all that he is, he begins to realize all that he isn't personally. You see God for all that he is, and you're reminded of where you don't measure up. How does Paul say it in Romans 3:23? We have all sinned and fallen short. We come up short. We don't measure up. And all of a sudden, in this incredible moment of seeing a holy God still on the throne, that's a good mark, that's a good exclamation mark, but also there's a new question mark saying, woe is me. And it's not just Isaiah's issue, it's all of our issue. He says, woe is me, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Unclean lips, speaking about impurity, that he falls short of this, a holy God, he is unholy. And it's not just him, he says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a bunch of people of unclean lips. hate to break it to you this morning, New Hope, but you're surrounded by people with unclean lips. Question mark. Now the psalmist in Psalm 24 paints this amazing picture of the Lord who made the whole earth. And then he says, but who can go? Who can ascend to the holy hill? And yet he says there's blessing for those who get there, but who? Holy hands. Holy hands. Isaiah has this moment where he sees God for all that God is, and he realizes all that he isn't. And he says, woe is me. Another question mark that casts a bit of a shadow. It's a wonderful moment. Let's read it together. I'm being really brave. I haven't put my glasses on. It's going well so far. Verse 5, and I said, woe is me, for I am lost. I'm undone, some translation says. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord, the Yahweh of hosts. Yeah. Exit the question mark, and here comes another exclamation mark. And then one of the seraphs flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me. Oh, question mark. Woe is me. Woe is me. Where my sin? But the exclamation mark comes. God sends a seraphim with a coal off the altar. Now think about that. A hot coal off the altar touches your lips. I think the first thing I would have said was, ouch. But symbolically, unclean lips and a coal comes from God's altar and touches the lips and says, you are now clean. Exclamation mark. You're now clean. That's the gospel. If I'm not mistaken, and I haven't read all of your documents yet, although I've stooped your website a lot, that's the hope in New Hope. That's the hope in New Hope. Is there hope? Yes. Question mark. Woe is me. I am sinful man. Exclamation mark. You are now cleansed by God's provision for you. That's the hope. That's the hope. That's the exclamation mark. There's a cleansing that comes. And not just a cleansing. If I was being really clever, I would have done another question mark, another exclamation mark, because God now asks a question. Who will go for us? Who will go on our behalf to the people, to the nations? Question mark. And Isaiah says, I will send me. And what does God do? Sends him. Sends him. Sends him. When Dave Hall began to communicate with me about the possibility of New Hope, and would we be willing, and we've done this before for some of the congregations, and we do consider this a privilege. Something we're pleased and grateful that we can do. But very, very quickly, nothing was said, nothing was done yet, except as Pam and I were just talking and praying about it, we were feeling a yes in our heart saying, yeah, baby. That was the internal response of yes. And I began to look at the calendar, and very quickly, both for this Sunday and the next two Sundays, the Lord just began to drop some nuggets into our heart and our spirit as to what we need to be speaking about. this vision that Isaiah has, this vision that God gives him. And again, a reminder, this is a vision that God gives. God's the one who chooses to make himself known to us. The very best we can ever do is in response to what God's already done towards us. None of us find God. None of us come up with this ourselves. We respond to his initiative. We respond to his grace. We respond to his work in our lives. And so this vision is God's gift to Isaiah. It's God's gift to Isaiah, who's living in the shadow of a question mark. And in that moment, this revelation of who God is, this revelation of seeing God on his throne and the fact that he's holy, this is more than just information. It's meant to be transformation. It's meant to make a difference in the life of Isaiah. It's meant to make a difference in the life of the people that Isaiah will speak to, the nation. The revelation of who God is, is the fact that a holy God speaks to the reality of crisis. You don't know what's going to happen next. There's a question mark. There's a shadow. Well, push the shadow back by the light of the exclamation mark, because you may not know what's going to go on next, but God is on his throne.
Yes. Amen.
In transition, we don't know what comes next. He's still on the throne.
Yes.
Listen, how often do you and I find ourselves in a place where we don't know? We don't know what to do. We don't know what's coming next. That happens. It's the human condition. But every time you and I are searching for an answer, the Lord is still on his throne. He hasn't left that place. He's still the sovereign God.
Amen.
And so this holy God speaks to crisis, speaks to the context of uncertainty, speaks to the question mark of the shadow of what comes next. He's on his throne, folks.
Amen.
He's on his throne. Listen right now. I'm pretty sure. Now, please take this with the spirit which I say it. I'm pretty sure right now the board and the district don't have a clue what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
Not because they're clueless, but because they're sitting in a moment of uncertainty.
Yeah.
So, Pat, now Pastor Sion hasn't died. Thank the Lord for that. He's alive and well and kicking.
Yeah.
Okay? And you know him, he can get. But at this point in time, those in leadership, the board, a district who comes along, and we have such a good and godly district leaders who are willing to serve churches in transition. So right now, there's this question mark. We don't have a clue to answer the now what. But that's okay, because guess who's on the throne? Guess who's on the throne? The Lord is on the throne. And that's where our hope, that's where our certainty lies. And so sometimes we may need a white cane to walk through the shadow of the uncertainty, because we're not too sure, but he is. He's on his throne. So the vision of a holy God speaks to the crisis of a nation. Oh, and the holy God on his throne also speaks to our own personal crisis of faith. Woe is me. I'm pretty sure. If I was to ask who had a perfect week this week, the number might be low.
Yeah.
Loa, Loa.
Yeah.
Very Loa. Oh, I'm undone, folks. I'm undone. I fall short. I fall short on so many aspects. That could be a question mark, but I'm not defined by that. I'm defined by the exclamation mark, because the Lord of hosts, who sits on his throne, takes care of my sin. He takes care of my shortcoming. He takes care of my woe is me, and says, you are clean. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So bottom line is, you and I need to see the Lord. Where does this teaching, where does this journey connect on our journey of life today? October 18th, 2015. What is the word of the Lord? How does it connect, intersect with our journey today? Don't live in the shadow of a question. but the light of the exclamation. That's a choice you make. Listen, if you want, you can wallow in the shadow of the question. Have a pity party. Try to even spiritualize it if you like. Knock yourself out. But it's a choice you make. Am I going to live in the shadow of the question mark, or am I going to choose to live in the light of the exclamation mark? This is not some half-baked theology. This is not blab it and grab it. This is not me trying to pretend things are okay. Listen, I'm tired. I'm tired of people coughing up phlegm and saying, oh, I'm not sick in Jesus' name. You're sick. Your phlegm just hit my clothes. You are sick. Little McKnightism, I'm sorry. A little McKnightism is this. This is not about mind over matter. This is mind on the master. So you can choose where you live. If we're not careful, we can choose to live in the shadow of the question mark and just kind of wallow there and whine there and be so uncertain, saying, oh, I don't know, what now? Oh, it's all, the sky's falling, it's not going to go well. Or we can choose to live in the light of the exclamation mark. Folks, I don't have a clue what's going to happen next. But I know who does.
Yes, amen.
And because he doesn't change, he's still on his throne. And he's high, and he's lifted up, and his train is so big and so majestic, there's room for nothing else. It's all about him. And the place will shake, and there'll be smoke as a villain. He is present, and he is God, and he is holy, holy, holy. The Yahweh of hosts, the whole earth is filled with his glory, whether the earth knows it or not.
Yes.
That's the truth.
Amen.
And that's the place I choose to live. Musicians can come back and just begin to play that last song we sang, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Isaiah sees a vision of God, a God who's holy upon his throne. He's confronted with that reality, and while he's initially lost, he comes to a place of being cleansed and then commissioned. I don't have time this morning. If you're looking for a pastor to come and do the work of evangelism in the city, you're looking for the wrong person. If you're looking for a pastor who's going to come to equip you to do evangelism, then you're looking for the right person. It's the church. And you and I, with people with unclean lips, who have the scar of a hot coal off the altar, who better to tell somebody else about grace than you and I?
Amen.
Who better? Who better to tell the nations that there's a God who met me? A God who saved me. Gary Tanger said to our pastor students at a retreat years ago, he said, your story is your ministry. I love that. Your story, your encounter with Jesus, that's your ministry. He hasn't called you to be a theologian. He's called you to tell your story. I met a holy God. And to an unclean guy, you cleaned him up.
Yes.
And he can do the same for you.
Yes.
That's our God. And he's holy. And he's on his throne. And he doesn't change. He doesn't change. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy. Oh, he's high, he's lifted up, he's on his throne. close this morning just for response to the Word of God. And we do it in a very specific way. Ways that I believe God wants us to respond this morning. So it may look different from what you may normally do on a Sunday morning, but thank you for your flexibility and responsibility this morning. So, first two things that come to mind, where there's a shadow across our land with an election tomorrow. There's a shadow across our land because not just the election, but even the courts and so many issues that are pressing and are concerned. It's a bit of a shadow for our entire nation, but especially for this province. There's the shadow of the economy. And even this morning, since being here, talking to different ones who jobs have changed or have been lost because there's this question mark that's on our economy right now. That's true. But the other truth is still true. Guess who's still on his throne? Amen? Yeah. So let's just begin. This is not just us kind of wrapping ourselves up to feel better. No. It's not mind over matter. It's mind of the master. The king was dead. We do have an election. The price of oil is in the tank. That's truth. But the other truth is that the Lord is still on his throne. The Lord is still on his throne. So where you stand, I want you just to begin to pray and say, God, with our election, with our economy, we are looking to you. Our hope is in you. You are still the God who rules and reigns. Just begin to pray in your own way where you stand. Begin to pray for our nation. Begin to pray for the election. Begin to pray about our economy. Just begin to do that, folks. You know how to do this. Yes, God, we pray. We put our eyes upon you, Lord. We put our eyes upon you, God. You are still on the throne. You are still on the throne, oh God. You are sovereign over all. You will reign over our nation. You will reign over our government. You will reign over our economy, oh God. For those who are looking for work, may you be their portion. May you be on the throne of them, O God. May you show yourself to be faithful. Teach lessons of faith and trust and dependence upon you, O God. We trust you, Lord. 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 Father God, we begin to pray even now for the men and the women who will be selected tomorrow. We begin to pray for them, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you will begin to bring a fear of God to their lives, a God consciousness, first for their own salvation, and then to realize the great, immense responsibility they hold in their hands. We pray for them, oh God. We pray, God, that you continue to have dominion from sea to sea to sea, to be the sovereign Lord of Canada. God, keep our land glorious and free. Not our glory, not national glory, but your glory, O God. Your glory, O God. And Lord, in spite of the low oil price, you are still on the throne. In spite of job layoffs and cutbacks, you are still on the throne. You are still Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We look to you, O God. We choose to live in the light of the exclamation mark of who you are, all that you do, all that you've promised, O God. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord.
Yes, you are glorious.
I thank you, Lord. Second part of our response, church. We are family here. We are family here. We are one in Christ here. So I want to ask the question this morning because I'm guessing that you as an individual, some of you have a shadow over your life. It might be a health issue. It could be related to your job or lack of one. It could be a relational family tension, a trial that's come your way. I'm not going to try to guess what it is. But if you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor Mark, yeah, there's a question mark over my life. There's a thing of uncertainty that I am dealing with, that I'm facing. If that's you, here's what I'm asking you in just a moment. I'm going to ask you just to do your family a favor and just raise your hand saying, that'd be me. And then we're going to respond. So not some preacher, but the priesthood of believers is going to pray in the name of Jesus. So church, if you see someone around you who's got a hand raised, they're just saying there's a question mark in my life. If your hand's not raised, you are now deputized. Please look around, see a hand, go and stand with that person. Go stand with that person. Hey church, help me out. I can't do all this. If you see someone's hand, just to step across the aisle, and just put your hand on their shoulder and just begin to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You're still on the throne, God. You're still on the throne. On his throne. So we prayerfully do good work, but we're not panicked because the Lord's on his throne. So I want you to, as a sign that you're connected to the body, I want you to join hands. And across the aisle, so Shimmy across. Shimmy across. Okay, yeah, that's what you're doing. You hold the elbow. Okay? Are we all good? Oh, this touchy-feely pastor. This went really old, really quick. Okay. Okay, folks, we are body. We are now physically connected. To just represent the fact that we belong to this local expression of body of Christ. And so our last act of worship this morning is going to be simply a prayer of faith. A prayer of hope. Yes, it's the year that Pastor Sion resigned. But we all look up. We all look way up. And we see the Lord is still on his throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his throne is filling the temple. There's room for nothing else. He's so great. He's so immense. And the place shakes. There's smoke. His glory fills the place. It vibrates with his presence. And we hear the truth, the anthem, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. So Lord God, for New Hope Christian Assembly, it's not a building, it's us. And yes, Lord, in this year, there's a small shadow of uncertainty that is now part of our new reality because we're asking, now what? What now? What next? Now who? Who next? But Lord, this morning, I thank you because by your Spirit, you are shining the light of the great exclamation mark. And it's you, and it's your presence. It's you who are on the throne. You rule. You reign. You have no uncertainty in you. You are all but certain. You are certain in all that you do, in all that you know. You know now where you are going to lead us. You know now where you're going to direct us. And Lord God, you are wanting to continue to use this group of people who have had their lips touched to tell others there's a place where your lips can be fixed to. And so God, we trust you this morning. We put our hope in you. We put our hope in you. We will not live and wallow in the shadow. We look to the light, and that's where our hope is, oh God, this morning. So we ask you, we thank you in the name of Jesus, yes, that you are on the throne, yes, and we thank you for all that you are going to do. Yes, and we ask this in the marvelous name of Yahweh, yes, Adonai, Jesus. We ask in Jesus' name, and the whole church said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Love you, church. Walk in the light of the exclamation mark. God bless you.